to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get Simmons.
Three-run homer. Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Leonis Martin with a walk-off. Two-run home run.
And the King, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Welcome back. Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being here once again. We're down to the teens. 19 days until opening day as we get closer and closer. Ah, that sounds so good. The teens. So we have a few things to get to in this podcast. The Mariners played yesterday. We'll touch on that. WBC is going, and it has been tremendous. We'll touch on that. The Mariners have been in the middle of it all. And at the end of the podcast, I usually throw in things as a surprise. This one I'll give you a preview of. A couple of years ago, it was an inning, spring training inning with Bob Uecker in the booth. So highly entertaining. That comes up at the end of the podcast. Whenever you get Bob Uecker in the mix, that's a good thing. So that comes up in a couple minutes as well. Meanwhile, the Mariners still playing spring training baseball despite missing some of the stars, Nelson Cruz and Felix and Robinson Cano and a dozen Mariners in the WBC. That's nearly the most in baseball. Just two more teams with more than the Mariners have playing in the WBC. But the Mariners have certainly made an impact in the WBC. That's for sure. We'll get to that in a second. But the Mariners played yesterday. James Paxton was on the hill and pitched well for the Mariners. They got a big three-run home run as well in the ball game yesterday.
And pitch. Swung on. Driven deep to left. And there it goes. Yes, sorry. Three-run Jack Tyler Smith right on cue. And the Mariners now have a 7-0 lead. Have a day, Tyler Smith. He's driven in four. That's his second home run of the spring. RBIs 5, 6, and 7.
Mariners end up winning 7-6. James Paxton on the hill went four innings. Gave up three hits, one run, no walks, and four punchouts. Here's what he had to say after the ball game about his outing.
You know, I didn't feel great out there, didn't have my best stuff, but mixed speeds a little bit, kept them off balance. Z did a really nice job calling the game behind the plate and made pitches when I had to.
It's encouraging when you don't have your best stuff but able to.
Yeah, you know, that's going to happen during the season. It's going to be days when I don't feel my good curveball or my good cutter, stuff like that, and just have to figure it out. And, you know, like I said, Z did a great job of calling the pitches that were working. The curveball was on and off, so threw it enough for strikes to make him respect it a little bit and kept them off the fastball.
Do you think you're more equipped to do that now, to make adjustments mid-game or notice something and just kind of keep going from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's a learning process, and I feel like I've learned a lot about myself and what I need to do when I don't have my stuff working. And Mel's been great talking to me, you know, between innings and stuff, and last season kind of teaching me what I need to do when things aren't, you know, all feeling really good.
So you're looking at getting outs and rather than trying to kind of get through whatever it is that's not working with a pitch?
Yeah, and, you know, we won't just abandon a pitch when it's not really working for me, but we'll throw it in spots that are safe and, you know, try to find it, throw it between innings, try and get it going where it could be a game where it comes around in the fifth inning and then it's really good and that's what gets me through the, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh inning in a game. So you just kind of keep on going with it and kind of fight for it.
When you say that the stuff wasn't good, what didn't feel great out there today? Just a little bit of everything?
Yeah, I was just, it wasn't real sharp. You know, my curveball wasn't very sharp. I threw some good ones, which was what helped me out. You know, I was able to make them respect it enough to take them off the fastball. Cutter, you know, wasn't locating it very well, but threw a couple that were okay. The changeup was pretty good today. It saved me a little bit today. It was getting some outs and changeup, getting out of at bats. You know, and the fastball location was just kind of so-so, falling behind some hitters and stuff, not where I want to be, but made some pitches when I had to.
So there it is, James Paxton, and this is the point of the spring where you start to look at the calendar And you look at how many outings guys have left with starters, and it's really not that many. Just a couple left before the start of the regular season, you know, three, something like that, at this point of the spring. So up to pushed out to four innings in this outing. We'll see how much further he goes in the next couple. But starting to get to the point where when you look at starters, really don't see them that many more times before the start of the regular season. So that was the Mariners yesterday. There were other Mariners in action as well as the WBC is going. And it has been really great. I hope you've watched. I'll give you a quick overview in case you haven't been. First round, it's broken up into four different pools. There was Pool A. Israel and the Netherlands advanced from that pool. Pool B, Japan and Cuba moved on from there. Pool C, the United States and the Dominican Republic out of there. And Pool D, Puerto Rico and Venezuela out of Pool D. There are four teams in each pool and two teams advanced in each pool. So currently you have Pool E, they're playing in Tokyo. Japan, who's off to a great start, they're 2-0 so far in Pool E. And again, the top two advance to the semifinals. So Japan 2-0, Netherlands 2-1 so far, Israel 1-1, and Cuba 0-3. So Japan really in the driver's seat to advance. Netherlands with their second win in good shape as well. In San Diego last night, Pool F kicked off with Puerto Rico and the Dominican. And that was a very good ball game. Nelson Cruz, who has made a big impact in the WBC, hit another home run last night.
That's into the gap in right center field in trouble. How about gone? Boy, they might take another look at that one because I'm not sure that that fan didn't reach over the fence to make that catch. Here they come, home run. Now they can celebrate.
So Nelson Cruz with the home run there last night, he has been no stranger to home runs in the WBC. He blasted a big one, a dramatic one, in the first round. It was spectacular. Here are three different calls from that home run that he hit earlier in the WBC.
That one's got a chance, and it's gone!
Here's a drive, deep to left, way back! Home run! Dominicans take the lead on an 0-2 pitch. He lines a home run to left.
Se va! Bárbaro el batazo! Se pierden las tribunas! Jonronazo!
So there it was, Nelson Cruz going deep in dramatic fashion. It was cool to hear him after the game, too. Here's what he said after the ball game, after the home run, giving the Dominican the win.
Home run, eighth inning against Miller. The difference in this game. Describe the emotion as you hit first base.
Well, unbelievable, you know, like a little kid, you know, I feel like I was playing a little league, you know, I was jumping out, I don't know what to do.
Nelson, for the fans watching this game tonight at home, how do you describe the scene that your team and your countrymen, your fans in the stands, created here in Miami tonight?
It was crazy. I mean, I can only remember the World Series, you know, playoffs, stuff like that. It was loud. I mean, the fans, they never give up. We never give up, and, you know, they deserve it, you know.
What is so special, Nelson, about Dominican baseball and this Dominican lineup?
Well, we love baseball, you know. We breathe baseball 24/7, all year round, and the fans love it. You can see it, you know.
Is there a better baseball team, Nelson, anywhere in the world than the one that you're on right now?
Maybe the Mariners. We have so much talent, it's unbelievable, you know. Even the guys that are on the bench, they can be a starter in any teams. And, you know, we just try to contribute, you know, go every day, every battle, you know, try to get on base. And it was nice to get it done today.
Take me into your dugout, Nelson. Before Manny Machado's home run there, it was getting a little quiet in here. He went to high school just 4 miles away from here. What did that home run by Machado do for your team?
Well, it woke us up, you know. It woke up the fans. It woke up everybody. The energy changed after he hit that homer.
Gracias y felicidades, Nelson.
Thank you.
So that was Nelson Cruz after the home run in the first round and the Dominican Republic playing Puerto Rico last night. It's amazing when you look at the Dominican lineup. I mean, it is stacked. Segura, Mariner shortstop. leading off. He was the DH. Manny Machado batting second. Robinson Cano hitting third, the second baseman. Bautista, Santana, Cruz, Beltre, Polanco, and Castillo, the starting nine for the Dominican. But Puerto Rico shut him down. Just six hits, that one run on the home run, and Puerto Rico wins 3-1, including Edwin Diaz, the closer for Puerto Rico. He pitches an inning and a third, no hits, no runs, one walk, and two punchouts to grab the save. He ended the ball game by retiring Gene Segura, called out on strikes to put him down. He got Adrian Beltre to strike out in the ninth inning as well. So Edwin Diaz closes it down. Now, the United States in action today at 6 o'clock in a Mariners matchup. Although it hasn't been officially announced, Felix Hernandez very likely to take the mound for Venezuela as the United States and Venezuela will play today at 6 p.m. Felix will take the mound against Drew Smyly, who will take the ball for the United States. So a couple of teammates, a couple of Mariners going at it in the first game pool play for them. I mean, this is a really rugged pool. Puerto Rico, United States, Venezuela, and the Dominican. And the Dominican Republic already 0-1. Puerto Rico after a great start 1-0. So a couple of huge games coming up. Only two advanced to the semifinals. So 6 o'clock should be a fun one to watch. So it's a little WBC action with the Mariners right in the thick of things. So hopefully you're enjoying that. Hopefully you watch tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Speaking of fun, I'm going to play this from a couple of years ago. Bob Uecker was in the booth, Mariners playing the Brewers in spring training. You'll hear a pitch or two, but you won't hear very many, which probably isn't a big surprise with Bob Uecker in the booth. But here it is. Hopefully you enjoy it.
Down the road here from you guys, Rick, you know, it's strange when you've been around a guy for so many years and you look over there and he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I really do miss Dave. I had a lot of fun. We had some great times in Milwaukee or out in Anaheim or up in Seattle.
Yeah, you guys go way back. Swing and a miss by Langerhans, and the count goes to 1-2. Back in the days when Dave was broadcasting pre-Mariner days with the the Angels, with Don Drysdale and
Dick Enberg. Yep.
Dick Nelson. Yeah, the engineer.
Crusty engineer. Hated everything.
He's a little grumpy. Dicky Nelson.
Next pitch is down and in, 2-2.
Oh, man.
So what keeps you going all these years, buddy? You've been with this organization for so long. You're in the Hall of Fame?
Parole board, I guess, more than anything else.
They want to know where you are at all times?
I'm wired all the time.
Nice bracelet. Yeah, and the pitch is inside, ball three.
Throws my pacemaker off a little bit, but other than that, it's all right.
Have they taken off the title interim announcer yet for you?
No. That I kind of like that. You know, I really do. It's kind of catchy.
Been an interim announcer for 40 years.
I was an interim catcher. That's the difference.
Here's the pitch. Strike three called to the outside corner. Gallardo strikes out. Langerhans, one out.
God, you guys actually do a broadcast. We're showing movies on our side.
One away here at the top of the fourth, no score. Visiting with Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker, and here's first baseman Justin Smoke. I love the stories that you told. You were on Johnny Carson's show about close to 100 times, weren't you? How much fun was that?
I always had a good time, Rick.
Go ahead.
This
is story time, baby.
Okay.
The pitches aren't important.
No, I know. I see that. You guys do a completely different broadcast. We try to stay with the game, although we played yesterday's game today. I mean, if I don't feel like working, we just throw yesterday's game in and say we doubled up.
Nobody knows the difference.
Split squad. Right.
Ah, man, this is like Radio Free Europe. Come on.
2-0 the count on Smoke.
But, I used to, I'd go out to do a Tonight Show and then fly right back to wherever we were doing a game. I did a lot of the shows during the season or when we were in Anaheim. Yeah. Out to see you guys in Seattle or Anaheim, and I'd fly back and forth and, you know, didn't miss any games.
Smoke takes up it away.
It was so nice, and Kenny knows this. Kenny's been around for a long, long time and a Hollywood guy and a great writer. I never got knocked off the Tonight Show. Johnny always made sure that no matter who was the guest, I mean, he made sure that my time was there, and I always had a great time with he and Doc and Ed McMahon.
There's a swing and a line drive, knocking it down. It's short as Betancourt picks it up to throw to first. Not in time, so Justin Smoke on at first base, one on and one away, visiting with Bob Uecker. I always wanted to talk to you about how did that relationship start, you and Johnny Carson?
You know, I actually met Johnny through Al Hurt. Do you remember Al Hurt,
sure,
the
great trumpeter?
Yeah. Java.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I met Al Hurt when I was, I just finished as a player by request of the whole team. And I had a friend in Atlanta, Rick, who was a friend of Al's and had worked for Al. And Al Hurt opened a nightclub in Atlanta, a small club.
Uh-huh.
And this friend of mine had told Al that I was doing a little stand-up stuff and, you know, doing my thing with the Braves. I was working in the PR department.
Right.
And on opening night, Al invited me to come up on stage, and so I did. Yeah. And he told me, as a lot of people did, that I was wasting my time doing what I was doing for the Braves, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to go out and move around a little bit. So he told me he was going to get me on a Tonight Show. I said, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right.
Well, mm-hmm. About 2 weeks later, I get a call from New York, and I went up there. And at that time, you had to audition. You know, you sat with some guy in a room, and if he thought you were funny, they put you on the show. That was 1969 was the first show I did, Tonight Show. And after the first show, I remember saying goodnight to Johnny and Ed McMahon, and I heard Johnny say to Ed, did that so-and-so really play baseball? No. he didn't think I was a player. Well, nobody did. I mean, it wasn't only him, but...
Yes, you did.
But, yeah, he didn't think I was a player. And I went back in 2 weeks. They invited me to come back in 2 weeks.
Wow, that was fast.
And that started it, you know.
And the great honor for any comic was when he let you sit on the couch.
Oh, yeah, you got that right. Yeah, I did some stand-up on, I'm trying to think of the, who's the English guy, Kenny, that had the talk show?
Wasn't
his name David? David something?
David Frost. David Frost.
That's him. David,
yeah.
Frost.
David Frost.
Yeah, Dave Frost. I did some stand up on his show, and then
so did
Merv Griffin. Huh? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wasn't very funny. Strike three called. Saunders gone looking. Another strikeout for Gallardo. Two outs for the Mariners here on the top of the fourth with one on, no score. Visiting with Bob Uecker.
Did Merv Griffin then a couple of times, and. But it was mainly the Tonight Show. I mean, I work with David Letterman. David's great. I like David. I like all those guys. I mean, it's fun being on the show and just being around that scene, as long as you don't take anything too seriously. Man, it's a lot of fun. I had a great time always on the Tonight Show, always.
Here is third baseman Luis Rodriguez with a swing and a foul back on one. Many years ago, I read your book, Catcher in the Rye, W-R-Y.
And yeah.
It was hilarious, of course, because of your sense.
We sold five.
I bought one.
Did you?
As a kid, yeah.
Yeah, every time we sold one,
I checked
I'd have
one
to
out.
Put another one.
You did? I checked one out.
Out of the library? Yeah. Uh-huh.
I still have it somewhere.
Every time we sold one, I'd have to write another one, and I did them in longhand, and I couldn't remember what I put in the one before that, and people said they were getting a shaft job, you know. Didn't get
they
the real story.
Different.
Yeah, they were.
Couldn't read your writing.
And you couldn't pull it away from somebody real quick because of the staples.
Exactly.
They're sticking out. It was really.
I love this. I love the story you told in the 64 World Series. There was a band on the field before a ball game, and you took a tuba and were catching fly balls at BP with the tuba?
Yeah. Roger, you remember Roger Craig?
Sure.
Roger Craig talked me into doing that. I mean, it was a dumb thing for me to do, but I just put it on momentarily. And some photographer snapped a picture.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I thought, you know, I had it on. Roger said, try and catch a ball, you know? Which I did. And I put about four dents in that thing, which cost me like $260.
You had to buy
it out of my check. Yeah, they took
it
out of my check.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah.
Here's the pitch. Strike three called on Rodriguez. And that'll retire the side. Bob, can you stick around another half?
Sure, you bet. I didn't know the half inning was over. Neither did I.
Well, we go to the bottom of the fourth inning this afternoon here in Maryvale. Mariners and the Brewers, no score. Visiting with the one and only Bob Uecker. Ricky Weeks will lead off the bottom of the fourth inning. Bob, years ago you were originally signed by the Milwaukee Braves. How did those negotiations go between the Braves, you and your father?
Well, it was actually, it was kind of a testy thing. You know, the Braves were trying to negotiate some sort of a deal to sign me, and the price kept going up and up and up. You know, it started out at $1,000 and $2,000 and $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it.
They had to pay Hank Aaron.
Yeah, well,
you know. They'd pay that guy.
Signing took place at a very popular and nifty restaurant in Milwaukee. And, my old man was kind of nervous about it. He's from the old country. And told him, just, sit tight. Everything's going to work out good. The Braves' car is right next to ours.
Ricky Weeks with a drive deep to left center field. Saunders going back near the wall, and he's there to make the catch. One out for the Brewers here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Let's pause for station identification time. Here is center fielder Carlos Gomez, one out for the Brewers. Michael Pineda out there, the windup and the pitch. Swing and a miss at a slider. The count 0-1, visiting with Bob Uecker. Bob,
anyway, my old man didn't have the window on the car rolled up far enough, and the tray fell off. It was embarrassing for me, and, the Braves right next to us.
Oh, man. But you got signed.
Yeah,
that's
I
all
did.
That mattered.
Yeah, you bet. I spent my first season in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And from there, of course, it's a Cinderella story.
Tell us about, here's the windup. And the 1-1 pitch is a strike, and it's 1-2 on Gomez. Your school for pass balls.
Yeah, I did that. I had it back. That was in the middle 70s. And Dick Enberg and our pal, Don Drysdale, and our good friend, they were all there. He was working there. Dave was working with the Angels at that time.
Yeah.
And I do a pregame show with Enberg, and I had this deal going where I was promoting a pass ball school that I had to show kids how to miss a ball on purpose without anybody knowing you're doing it on purpose and to get you home early from little league games.
That's right.
Stuff like that.
Parents got to go to work.
So I'm doing
day.
This thing with Enberg.
Uh-huh.
And they play it on their pregame show, and I had offered Enberg a chance for a franchise if he had some land out in California, and I said, if you're owner, I know Gene Autry is interested in baseball and promoting Little League Baseball. We'd like to have him on board if he'd like to join the pass ball school and become a franchise holder. And Enberg, after they played the pregame show, he called me over to their booth. He said, the Cowboy's on the phone. And the Cowboy was on.
Gene Autry.
Yeah, Gene Autry. He called him a Cowboy.
This is Bobby Uecker talking about the pass ball school. Maybe we can get Champion in there, too.
He was probably stuffed at that time.
That was a great story.
I know it.
Wasn't that a great story?
Oh, Dave used to tell that all the time about his horse.
Unbelievable.
Oh, after Champion,
Champion
went to the great ranch up in the sky, he wanted to know from the taxidermist
how much
it would cost to stuff him, and he told him.
What was Trigger?
Yeah, yeah.
He stuffed Trigger for like $1,200.
Yeah.
And he asked, that's what he asked him. How much did it cost? And he said, $1,200.
Well, stick Champion in the ground.
Bury this son of a gun. Swinging a ground ball back up the middle by Kotze for a base hit. By the way, Gomez struck out. So
no, we don't
two
care
outs.
About that. Come on.
What on two outs for the Brewers here at the bottom of the fourth visiting
series. Come on, Rick.
I got to catch up
changed.
A little bit.
You guys never used to care. Man, what a difference.
I got to catch up a little bit here. No score. And
what do you got
first
in the
Prince
Fielder.
Wow,
you're in the first inning already. Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Visiting with Bob Uecker.
We are.
So how are you guys going to do this year, Bobby?
I think we're going to be okay. We got a couple of changes that I think are really going to help. But, I think we're going to be okay, Rick. I think we got a shot to win the Central. And I don't think anybody in the Central has done you know, anything really major outside of what we've done. I mean,
you guys really improved with Greinke.
Yeah, we
and
did
Markham
with Greinke and Markham.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about Markham, but he's pitched good this spring.
Pineda ready. He's been outstanding this afternoon. And the 2-0 pitch is low and inside, ball three. Now, do you go down to the field once in a while, give these guys some tips?
Yes.
Because you played in the big leagues.
Oh, of course. Are you kidding?
What kind of tips do you give these kids?
Well, it's stuff not to do.
Like what?
Don't hold a bat. Don't take a bat with you when you go to the plate.
That's kind of rough.
Well, it is. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to hit.
I've gone up there many times without a bat. And, you know, Gene Mauk did that first, told me to try for a walk.
And the next pitch, the fielder is inside for ball four, so he walks. Katse down at second, two on and two outs. Who was it that told Harvey Keene don't go up there in a game against Sandy Koufax? You don't want to go up there.
No, don't go. I used to hate it when the catcher just hollered out to the pitcher what to throw. I hated that. When I was hitting.
Meanwhile,
throw him a curveball. Throw him a fastball. I'm saying, oh, really?
But didn't you own Sandy
yeah,
Koufax?
Yeah, meanwhile, you
I
owned
did.
Sandy Koufax.
I always, you know what? I to this day, I apologize to him every time I see him because I was afraid that would keep him out of the Hall of Fame. He and Ferguson Jenkins.
You hit Gaylord Fergie
Perry.
Too, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I hit one off of Gaylord Perry one day, Rick. And to this day, I'm telling you, I don't care where he is. If I walk in a room, he says, here comes the worst day of my whole life. Not his baseball life, his whole life.
Yeah. You hit a home run off of him?
Yeah.
I guess he didn't load
it was inside the Parker.
Inside the
Got
Parker?
Got under the fence, yeah.
Here is Unieski Betancourt. He takes a strike, 0-1, two on, two outs. No score, bottom of the fourth.
Gaylord, yeah. But, no, I've had a good time. I don't know what else I would do, Rick. You know, I love doing baseball. I love being around the guys. It's something that I've done for so long.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what I would do. I feel good now. I'm okay.
Well, you're a joy to be around, especially for us, because you make this game what it is and should be, and that's fun.
Well,
you know,
I had a kind of a tough summer last year. That was, you know, stuff happens.
We missed you, too.
Well, you know, I should have went to a real doctor. That manual that manual stuff doesn't work, you know. Here, instruction number one, heat up scalpel. You know that? I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's as well.
Don't do that.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 1-1 to Betancourt, fastball for a strike, 1-2.
Yeah, that then the heart surgery went okay. I had a pancreatic surgery, too, in January. A lot of people didn't know about that because I didn't have to tell anybody, you know, because it was during the off season. But the heart surgery in April, and then I got a little bit of a staph infection. I was back to work.
Did you get a package deal on all these surgeries?
I'm still waiting for Tops to try and pick up the tab on this thing.
Here's a swing and a drive down the left field line. Foul ball off the bat of Betancourt. Just foul. Two were ready to score, but they have to head on back. Katse to second. Fielder back to first.
After the first two surgeries, they let me in the hospital. Doing that campsite stuff, that ain't no good, man. You know. Choke the fire up. We need some more heat on these instruments.
You know, you are such a gem in this game. Did you ever meet anybody just like you in the game of baseball that had your type of sense of humor? My gosh.
No, I've met guys that, you know, what is he doing here? You know, to have yourself injected with hepatitis so they could bring up another guy. Oh, that wasn't real good. World Series. That's what Bing Devine told me.
Wow.
There's an area where you can really help us. Yeah, what do you want, Bing? We want to inject you with hepatitis.
Swing and a line drive, base hit right field. Here comes Katse running third, heading home. The throw to the plate by Langerhans, and out at home is Katse. Langerhans to the catcher, Jimenez, in time, and that will retire the side. What a throw by Langerhans, and a nice play on the other end by Jimenez, and that's it for the Brewers. In the bottom of the fourth, Bob Uecker, thank you so much,
Ricky,
for coming by.
Good to see you guys. Kenny, all you guys, great to see you. Dave, everybody, glad to be aboard.
Great to
see you guys.
Too,
I miss you, man. Dave, I really do.
See you later!